Always nice to have Digger Phelps here on Sports Byline. Longtime and successful Notre Dame basketball coach and former ESPN college basketball analyst. He began his 20-season career at Notre Dame at the age of 29, and when he finished, he had 393 victories, most in Irish history. He averaged 19 wins a season, 14 NCAA tournaments while in South Bend, one Final Four, and of course that great moment, the Irish beating UCLA in 74 to snap the Bruins' 88-game win streak. And Digger's success as a coach and growth as a person was inspired by Father Ted Hesburgh, who was the president of Notre Dame for 35 years. And Digger has written an inspirational and insightful book called Father Ted Hesburgh, He Coached Me, which shares the story of Father Ted's ability to inspire people and affect change for the greater good. Digger, you describe Father Ted as a living saint. That's a pretty strong statement. What justified that?
Well, if we go and look at his entire life, as Mother Teresa was as a nun, and she's just been put up for sainthood, I think Father Hesburgh, in his life as a priest, is ready for sainthood. And the reason why I say this, he was so really into anything and everything, the way he could do it. If you look at the cover of the book as an example, there's a picture of him and me walking off the basketball court. When I was hired at Notre Dame, I was told by Father Hesburgh and Father Joyce, the executive vice president in charge of athletics, that every game you have a mass the day of the game, and you have a medal from a saint, like St. Joseph the Carpenter. And we work hard, never pray to one, but to pray to do your best. And then that priest would sit on the bench for the game. Well, Father Hesburgh, in my 20 years, sat on a bench for seven times, went undefeated in seven games, including back when in 77 when some guy named Bill Cartwright in San Francisco came into Notre Dame 29-0, and they went out 29-1. Father Hesburgh was a game piece for that. He did it against Marquette in 78, and on the cover, this is the cover of the Paul game when they were number one in February 1980. And we won the game in double overtime when Orlando Woolridge made two free throws to seal the deal. So as we're walking off the court, I got my arm around Father Hesburgh's shoulder, shaking his hand. I said, Father, a lot of prayers for this one, huh? Yeah, Digger, I was running out of Hail Marys. But then as you look at his life, and what I did in this book, we would take him to a place called Parisi's off the campus, an Italian restaurant, because he loved his linguine with Alfredo sauce. Well, Alfredo, there was a restaurant about four blocks from the Vatican. And he and his buddy, who was known as Monsignor Montini at the time, then became Cardinal Montini at the time after that, and then became Pope Paul VI. Well, he and Father Ted were great friends, and they used to go there and eat dinner and have the Alfredo sauce, the famous Alfredo sauce. So I'd get him over to Parisi's with a few other priests, and then Melanie, his administrative assistant, and Linda Costa's my fiancée, who's from San Francisco. But more importantly, I'd get him to tell us stories about his life and what he accomplished. So one night I said to him, Father Ted, you give me your starting five. And he looks at me and he says, Digger, you're still coaching, aren't you? I said, yeah, I want to know who I'm going to play against because you've influenced 1,000 people around your whole lifetime. Well, the first one was Pope Paul VI. And what is ironic about this, Pope Paul VI, once he became pope, wanted to make Father Hesburgh a cardinal. And Father Hesburgh, in a meeting in Rome at the Vatican, said no for 1 hour. No, 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 I'm a priest. But he kept the ring to become a cardinal, and I saw that ring, and the ring is still in his office in Notre Dame, even though he's passed. The second person on that starting lineup was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Ike, back in 1957, asked Father Hesburgh to get three other men from the South, three from the North, including him, and come up with a way to come up with a Civil Rights Act. And so they went up to Land O'Lakes in 57 to go fishing at Land O'Lakes at the Notre Dame retreat place where the priests go and just have their time off. And so they're out there fishing like in the Bible, the fishermen. But that night they came up with 12 ideas for the Civil Rights Act, brought to Eisenhower at the White House. And at that time, Ike said, you guys were fishing? Yeah. So he sneaks over to Hesburgh and he says, Father Ted, do you think I can go up there and go fishing sometime? And no one ever knew this. Eisenhower snuck out of the White House, went with Father Hesburgh to go fishing up the Land O'Lakes, and at the same time brought that fish back to the White House to cook it and eat it. But then, of course, Eisenhower gave the Civil Rights Act to President Kennedy, who was going to use it to run in the second term, but got assassinated. And then LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, got it done done as President of the United States in 64 when he got Congress to get it passed. The third person was Father Joyce, his administrative assistant for 35 years. They, as a team, made Notre Dame what it is today. And after 20 years as president, Father Hesburgh said to Father Joyce, why don't you take over and do your job? No, we're fine. And they did it for another 15 years. So I'm saying he's got to have a woman. Now, Joan Kroc and the Kroc Foundation, they became very close, the Kroc family, to Father Hesburgh, and I thought he would pick her. And by the way, they've given like $80 million to Notre Dame just because of what Hesburgh believed in with the Hesburgh International Peace Institute here at Notre Dame. But it became Helen, his administrative assistant secretary for all these years. And here's little old Helen. She would sit by her typewriter, old Underwood typewriter with her glasses on, 2 inches thick, and smoke a cigarette and do all Hesburgh's mail. Well, in 1960, Father Hesburgh didn't have a graduation speaker 2 weeks before graduation. So Helen says, why don't you ask your friend, President Eisenhower? Father Hesburgh, well, he's too busy. You know, I don't think he can do it. What, did you ask him? No, I haven't asked him. Well, why don't you ask him? He says to Helen, why don't you ask him? And by the way, Helen says, have you got one of your priest friends from Rome to come over yet to say mass for the seniors? So she types a letter, gets it to President Eisenhower, and a week later she comes up to Father Hesburgh in his office and says, Ike's coming. Did you get one of your priest friends yet from Rome to come to say mass for the seniors? And that turned out to be Pope Paul VI. And the last one in his starting lineup was Coach Frank Leahy. I said, you fired Leahy. He said, well, back in the late 40s, before all this happened, in the early 40s, Father John Kavanaugh, president, asked me to take over, and I'm going to make you vice president of the deans because the deans are out of control, Father Ted. And by the way, take care of football because I understand Leahy's got those kids practicing when they should be in class. So Hesburgh reads the Big Ten manual. And in the Big Ten manual, you could only travel with 35 players. Well, Leahy was traveling with 49. Well, now Notre Dame's going to go out and play the University of Washington in Seattle, and Father Hesburgh happens to be the game priest. And making sure that when they left South Bend on the train, there's only 35 players, which there were, Coach Leahy's really upset. And so for 2 days to get out there and 2 days of morning mass, Coach Leahy would never speak to Father Hesburgh. Well, Notre Dame's losing at halftime. And all of a sudden, they come back and win the second half. But at the press conference, Coach Leahy just rips the referees. Well, the headlines were, Crybaby Notre Dame comes from behind to beat University of Washington. They get back to South Bend. Father Hesburgh calls up Leahy and says, we got to have a meeting. Father, I'm sorry. I mean, no, we got bad press all around the country. I'm sorry. Yeah, but Frank, we still got to have a meeting about something. And so Leahy says, well, I still apologize for what I said. Yeah, did you get a lot of mail, Frank? Yeah. How much? 2 garbage barrels full. I said to Father Ted, what'd you do? He said, I burned it. So they're walking around one of the lakes on the campus, and Leahy still thinks he's getting fired because Father Ted said, I talked to Father Kavanaugh, and Frank, from now on, you charter flights going to the West Coast, no more trains. So that was his starting five, which just impressed me with the people he's met in this whole lifestyle.
Digger, we only have 2 minutes before we have to break here, but the first time you met him, tell me what your reaction was to him.
Well, I knew who he was, and I knew who Father Joyce was. They were Notre Dame back then. I mean, he took over as president in 52, and I arrived there almost 20 years later. And you just were impressed by the way he presented himself and the way he could just motivate you and look at you and get you to do things you can believe you could do. And that's what my first impressions were of him. And, you know, when you look at certain people in your life, he had that influence over a lot of people. Duarte, who was a student at Notre Dame back then, when he met him down in South America, Panama, for a Notre Dame night, he said, President Duarte, before he became president, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just a civil engineer back home. And Hesburgh says, time for you to lead that country out of that communist dictatorship and bring in democracy, which Duarte did with his own revolution and got it done. But that's how Hesburgh was, and he would do that to anybody and any person that would get into his confidence, so to speak, to motivate you that you can make change in the game of life.
In about 45 seconds, how was he able to bridge generations? Because I've heard that about him. I never met him, but from what you've said and others have said, he was always comfortable with any age group.
Yeah, that's true. I think because he kept it simple as a priest, and he knew the power of prayer. He also knew that people needed to be inspired and believed believe that they can do more than they do. And he just had a great way. And as a coach, I mean, he's the one that got me from coaching basketball to coaching the streets. Like when I worked for President Bush in 92 and did this Operation Weed and Seed, was just trying to get the gangs to stop killing each other and realizing you can get an education, become an electrician, and make $70,000 a year. He just had that way to do that with you. And I think he could close the gap for any gender. And his proudest moment in Notre Dame is when Notre Dame got in the early 70s, went co-ed, and now you get a 1,000 women graduating with 1,000 men, 2,000 graduates yesterday at the commencement, which was Father Hesburgh's dream.
Digger Phelps is with us, longtime and successful Notre Dame basketball coach and, of course, former ESPN college basketball analyst. And we're talking about his book. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline Book Corner. Read this book, Father Ted Hesburgh, He Coached Me. We continue on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline. Digger Phelps has joined us here on Sports Byline. Again, this book is out. Check it out. Father Ted Hesburgh, He Coached Me is the name of the book. In the book, you talk about the remembrance of Father Ted at the funeral and the outpouring of support that it inspired. Did anything surprise you about that outpouring?
No, you know, they just knew. I mean, the thing that surprised me the most when we left the Basilica after his funeral mass and walked to the cemetery, which is a tradition, even though he was in the hearse, and the priest would follow the hearse and then close family and then friends, what impressed me, and I'm walking with Linda, and I'm looking as we're going, because both sides of the road were packed, and it's about maybe a good half-mile walk from the Basilica up to the cemetery where all the priests are buried on the campus. And I said to myself, and I looked at Linda, I said, aren't we co-ed? And she looked at me when she knew why. Both sides of the road were lined with women. Not that there weren't men there, but the women stood out. And that was Father Hesburgh's, you know, vision of what Notre Dame should be. And this is going back 2 years ago, 2015. The other thing that was really amazing was to see the number of guys smoking cigars as we're walking in line, because Father Hesburgh always enjoyed a good cigar, especially if it was a way to get him out of Cuba. But I think more importantly, it was how he, as a priest, and knowing that he was a priest, had this vision for what this university should be, and putting people in positions where they can make a difference in other people's lives once they leave this university. It wasn't just being a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant, whatever it may have been, for men and women. It was more of, when you get in that community, make a difference for the have-nots, because that's the mission of the CSCs, the priest at Notre Dame. But I looked at him as one guy. When I got motivated, and what he did with the Civil Rights Act, and at that time it was for African Americans, at the end of his life, that Civil Rights Act, as he would say, is for all cultures, all religions, and all colors of skins. It's what people need, and it's that they have the right to be someone that can be positive and have an opportunity to win in the game of life. And I decided to do this book, and what I'm doing for him in the Civil Rights Act is what I get as far as income from this book. I'm putting a scholarship together in his name for someone who needs it that's coming to Notre Dame. And I think that's how we'll get it done. But the other side step, I figured this out. I was on the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee for 22 years and did a lot of things behind the scenes that people didn't realize from 1984 to 2006. One of them was back in 1988 when we had the 100th anniversary of Newt Rockne and had that stamp approved. So I went to the White House and asked President Reagan to come out as the Gipper, which he did from what he played in that movie, Newt Rockne in Notre Dame, and he was the Gipper. And he came out and we had that stamp ceremony with 10,000 people. Well, Father Hesburgh this Thursday, the 25th, will be 100 years old. That would be his anniversary. So since no one's around, since school just got out, September 1st, on a Friday before Notre Dame opens the football season at home, we're going to have that first day of issue by the Postal Service. They've announced it, and he's getting a forever stamp in his name and honor, which means whatever you pay for it now, you use it forever. And buy a roll of 100, and you can use them 5 years from now. But more importantly, it's what he was as a priest. And now here it is, I think. He's got honorary degrees from 150 colleges and universities from around the world. That's the impact he made on education. So I decided one of his favorite students ever that came to Notre Dame was Condoleezza Rice, who's right down the road from from San Francisco at Stanford. She came and got a master's here because Father Heskerberg knew the family, knew her, and wanted her to have that opportunity, which she did. So she will be the main speaker on September 1st, that Friday at noon at the ACC, the Athletic and Communication Center, and to honor Father Heskerberg for getting his forever stamp.
Digger, one of the things that I know is that he set the tone for that university for some 35 years. And when it comes to the athletic department, because I've had a lot of interaction with them, what has struck me is that they're not just athletes. They're trained to be good people as well. I know when I'd go do an interview, the athlete was in a coat and tie. He would show up on time. He would answer questions. I mean, it was a different atmosphere than what I have seen almost anywhere else. Tell me a little bit about that development of the people on that campus.
Well, you'd go out and recruit a young man and get him at the age of 18, and you got 4 years to get him ready for manhood. And with what Notre Dame believes in, the student athlete, they lived it, walked it, and preached it. I coached 56 players, and all 56 guys in 20 years that I coached got their degrees, including Adrian Dantley and Gary Brokaw, who went to summer school after their junior years. I made them promise their moms they'd come back in summer school to get their degrees. They left after their junior years to play in the NBA, and both of them did. They got their degrees. But it's what's their life after basketball. I mean, Stan Wilcox, who was on the 78 Final Four team, he is now athletic director at Florida State. When I look and see Scott Paddock, he's president of Chicago Speedway. When I look at Jameer Jackson, who is from Peoria, Illinois, he is now president of Nielsen Ratings. When it comes to the CFO, he's the guy that runs the whole operation. All these guys have gone on and have a life after their sport, a life after basketball, in my case. And when you take a look at what came out in stats about 4 years ago, 70% in the NBA and NFL players, 70%, 5 years after they retire, they're bankrupt. Well, that doesn't happen to Notre Dame people because they get degrees and they know how to play in the game of life after the sport is done. And that's what Father Heskerberg instilled in all of us as coaches, as well as what these athletes know when they got into Notre Dame.
One of the things that I always am interested in is the fact if there's one single memory of Father Heskerberg, what would that be for you? Because you interacted with him in such a multiple of ways. And I know that's a tough question. But
no, it's in the book. I'm a cancer survivor twice. I had prostate cancer and bladder cancer. And each time I'd go get a blessing from Father Heskerberg before I had the surgery. And when I had the bladder cancer back in 2014, I went and saw him and I said, Father, give me a blessing before I had the surgery. And he said to me, Digger, have the courage. I wrote that down, the picture of that, it's still in my wallet, the piece of paper. And the picture of that is in the book on what he did to inspire me to, okay, yeah, you can pray, but you're going to get this done and you're going to win it. And that is, to me, the memory of most. And when he was sick and dying that last week, I went and saw him over at the Holy Cross House after Mass one day for lunch. And I said, Father, remember what you told me when I had my bladder cancer? And he looked at me and I said, well, here it is. Have the courage. Well, we're going to win this. You're going to have the courage, and we're going to win this. And I showed it to him, and he gave me another blessing on the forehead before, you know, 2 days next after that, he just didn't make it and he passed. And that was the toughest thing until I went to the Basilica. Because we've had times when he had been sick, maybe for a week, and he'd fight it and come back. And the winter was lousy, and we just said, well, you know, like, hey, it's February. You know, in 2 months it'll be April. You're going to be fine. So what happened was when he passed, on March the 3rd, they had his viewing at the Basilica on the campus, and Linda and I got there about 2:45. The casket was there, and, man, I just lost it for 10 minutes. I could not believe seeing him there in an open casket. But a little sidebar, I had one of the priests, Austin Collins, make sure he got a Cuban cigar, which he said he put in his left sleeve to take with him on his journey. And the other thing I did, John Zach, a guy that runs a basilica for the Holy Cross priest, Heskerberg blessed these medals, the St. Jude medal and the Lady on the Dome medal. St. Jude used to be our UCLA game medal until we started winning out there for hopeless causes. In 76, we went on to win 4 straight years. But I'd get a St. Jude medal and the Lady on the Dome with the Sacred Heart. He blessed those medals, and I'd give them to people who were sick or had some issues on his behalf and light candles for him with the gravel. And this story is in the book. But I told John, I said, do me a favor. Here's two medals. Make sure he takes these with him. And so the next day, the day of the funeral, I see John Zach, and I said, John, did you get the medals in the casket? He said, yeah, Digger. They're in his left sleeve next to the cigar. So, I mean, that's vintage Hesburgh. That's how we were. That's what we would be. And to me, as I say, a priest for sainthood. There's no, I mean, why not? And a quick sidebar. The Kennedy stamp came out in John F. Kennedy, another stamp back in early spring, like in April, up in Boston. And a friend of mine who's vice president of marketing for the Postal Service, how'd the Kennedy stamp go? He said, it went excellent, Digger. And he said, but I got to tell you this. He said, two people come up. One came up, this man came up and said, Father Hesburgh used to babysit my sister and me back when, obviously when Father went to Notre Dame. He said, I'm bringing my mother to that stamp ceremony. She's in her 90s. And the vice president said, okay, I'll send you an invitation of the Postal Service. This black man came up and said, what Father Hesburgh did for me in my life, one-on-one, personally, has made me who I am today. I want to come to that stamp ceremony. I said to this gentleman, I said to him, look, you're vice president of the Postal Service. We don't know how many thousands of people want to come to see Hesburgh and get that first day of issue of this forever stamp. That's Father Ted, a priest for sainthood.
I want to thank you, Digger. Wonderful book, and thank you for writing it. You're welcome here anytime. Take care, my friend.
All right, Ron, we'll stay in touch.
Okay, Digger Phelps with us again. Check out the book. It's called He Coached Me, and we're talking about Father Ted Hesburgh. We continue on Sports Byline.